God bless thee.
God bless you, my son.
Is with love, I will come and talk with you. And it is with great joy that I have discovered that the words of Marcello have made you look within and turn inwards and search yourself. And it is for this reason I have asked the instrument to request that these parables were read for you this night. I want you to take these parables into your heart and listen to them, for they are a truth unto all of you. There is the parable of the unjust judge, who will only judge according to his own wishes, enable to him to make his life this much easier. Life is not so simple as this, and is only a fool who will turn away from those things which he knows is the truth, and try to hide them with something he has manufactured in his own heart, in order to create for him what he considers is suitable conditions of living. Be a just judge in all you say and do. Be cleansed of your own impurities simply by your own judgments. By coming to a verdict about yourself, which even now it does not make you happy at the time, you know it because it is the truth. It will become a great joy to you. So those of you who have returned within and feared the words of Marcello, I want you to look upon these teachings in this way. That I have played the part of a just judge, and I have declared those things I know will be of benefit for you and for Marcello and ultimately for the glory of God. If you had gone away and had not questioned yourselves and had not reasoned within yourselves, you would have been like the man who exalted himself and who would have been turned away. But you are like the ones who have humbled yourselves, and you have been chosen to receive into your lives this opportunity to perform unto your God your oaths of love and dedication and service. Is this not a simple lesson? Is these parables so difficult to understand? And when you read into them and search your hearts, again will come the teachings as I told you before. Judge not, that ye be judged. For as ye judge, so shall ye be judged also. So judge yourselves, which you have done, and in so doing you have been a just and a true judge. For you have humbled yourselves before God. You have gone your way, those of you who have had the opportunity, and entered into your temple, and you have given worship, and you have listened to what was said, and you have carried it away with you in your hearts, and although a word for word is not in your brain, Marcello will say word for word it is in your hearts, and you have received the word and love of God into your being. And no more is it demanded of you than to love your God. For to love him is to know him. And to know him is to obey his love and his word. And to carry them into your life and strip away all those things which Marcello has mentioned before. And you will avoid the temptations. You will turn away from your anger and your agitations. And you will go away quietly into your closet and speak within yourselves. And so come to feel the power and the love of God deep within your hearts. Having said these things, and knowing you have received them, let us go on now and begin to learn. I wanted to say for you, there was once a little boy. He was a very bright and a clever little boy. He was very gentle and loving. But this little boy was different from other little boys, because he was blind, and his body was bent and twisted, and he could talk, and his life was such a happy life. He found a joy when someone mocked him. He would laugh at their mockery and join in with their laughter. And this sometimes would make the other boys angry at him. But he would forgive them. And the other boys would show off their fit and strong bodies. And they would dance around him and put him to scorn, because they knew he could not see them. And so they could do all sorts of things to insult him, to mock him, and to scorn him. And one day, another little boy came to him as a friend. And he said to him, "Tell me, why is it when all these spiteful ones come upon you and they mock and scorn you and they torment you, you will not reproach them, and you will not cry, and you will not try in any way to defend yourself?" And he said to him, "Firstly, I cannot see what I have to defend myself against, for I see no one. Secondly, I cannot see these things they do in front of me. And thirdly, all I can see is all that God blessed me with. He blessed me with the inner vision to forgive. He blessed me with an inner strength to uphold my spirit. He blessed me with the understanding that those who scorn are the weak and the bent, the blind and the twisted. But my spirit is strong. It is unaffected, untouched, undamaged by all those things which others try to do. It cannot be harmed. It cannot be maliced. And so in return, I can only love my God for the gift he has given me. The gift of inner vision, the gift of love, and the gift of understanding. And his friend marveled at these things. And he said to him, I have a perfect body, and I have eyes through which I can see. Why can't I see as you see? And the boy said to him, but you can if you close your eyes and look at yourself. If you close your eyes and see God. If you can close your eyes and see no darkness around you, only the light of your own spirit shining within. You have seen God, and therefore you can do all the things that I can do. You have the gift, as I have, of inner vision, of a sense, of a touch, of a smell, of a sound, of a speech, so that you can do all these things which God has ordained you should do. You and I are not different because we are true spirits of God. I want you to think of this. I want you to think very carefully. Is it no matter how you see yourself? Is it no matter how you see others? Close your eyes and remember this little boy. When those who antagonize you and annoy you and decry you and condemn you and will mock and scorn at you, close your eyes and remember this little boy who, instead of listening to the words of a fool, listened within to the voice of God. He listened. He could hear God say to him, be still, know that I am with you, and all these things will pass. Though your body is not perfect as you see it, as you feel it, and although the life around you is not perfect as you would wish it to be, all that is within, all those things of the Spirit are untouchable by those who scorn. Your spirit is complete. Even if your body is not perfect, you are a child of God. And if you will look for him and see him, receive him into your life and into the darkness of your life, he will light the way. He will strengthen you. He will uphold you. And he will open your eyes to the many gifts of the Spirit you have within. And you will be like this little boy, who can only laugh with his tormentors and forgive them, for he would not look upon them. He could not see them and those things they did. And knowing this, he knew they could not touch him. They could not touch his spirit, though they could touch his body and poke and prod him. His spirit was within, protected by the love of God. He was whole, even more wholesome than those of his tormentors, for they were really only tormenting themselves. I want you to think of this. I want you, when you are in moments of doubt and of self-criticism, when those who are supposed or look upon themselves to be your superiors and your tormentors those who govern you and who are bad judges of life come close to you and they do these many things. Turn within, remember him well. For this little boy had within his spirit and within this darkness which surrounded him a great light of love and understanding. And with this light of love and understanding there was a great power of forgiveness. He could not scorn them because to his great joy he could not see them. And because of his twisted limbs he could not reach out and touch them. He didn't want to. Why should he touch such things as this, when he had all this love in his heart, knowing he was caused by the love of God, and rejoicing in this, he could walk away in his way, and forgive them in his passing. And you like this little boy also, can he teach others to do the same? You can teach them to walk in peace and love simply by being an example of his peace and love. And this is why Marcello says to you, do not allow yourselves to become weakened and put to scorn by your own weaknesses. Do not let them prod you and hurt you. Be strong in him and keep these things away from your aura and from your spirit. Do not let the weaknesses of the flesh or of the mind, of the tongue, of the heart and of the body enter into your spirit. For if this does occur, you will only become a lost and wandering soul. So you see, taking into your heart the meanings of this little story I have told, we can again relate to these parables of which Jesus spoke. Did he not also say to them when they rebuked the children, suffer the little ones, come unto me, for such are the kingdom of God. If you turn away from these things, then you turn away from the love of God. If you turn away from the impurities of your heart and of your spirit, and give thought and word and deed to the base and lower things of your life, are you not doing the same as those who rebuke the children and so turn God away from them? Allow God to come into your life. Suffer him to come into you, and he will suffer you to come to him, blessed, cherished, and redeemed. Such is his grace. Such is his love, such is his peace. I have spoken with you for a long time now. Now I will allow those for you who wish to speak with Marcello to talk with me. I will talk with you as a unit. So who will talk with Marcello?
Good evening, Marcello.
Bene,
God bless you.
See you.
Still don't really understand the creation. I know you spoke last time about it, but I haven't fully grasped it. I wonder if you could...
Tell them, Marcello, which of it you do not understand.
Well, God created the world, and he created man in his own image, which was the spirit of man. Now, that spirit that he created, rather than the physical part, were all those spirits created at the same within the 7 days or seven...
Mentanotti.
Seven periods, as you said. Or is God still creating...
E God is the...
Spirits, bello. This very moment.
Sì, sì, sì. I salvi. I si salvi, brate Christi.
It is so, isn't it?
Sì. There is a little part of God shed into this realm, if you wish, all the time. He's as like an old man who is sprinkling stardust, created of himself. The spirit does not fade away, and as you call it, die, is eternal. And there is a creation of the spirit constantly, entering into the universe, all the different levels, different stages of awareness. This again may confuse you if you say, if they are all from a God, they are all coming from Him, why are they different levels of awareness? Is this not so, Christy?
No, the first question I would have asked myself is, why so many? When the physical body dies,
si.
Other than the process of man and woman producing the physical body by way of a baby,
si.
Then there must be, as each physical body is discarded, if you like, that spirit lives on. There must be a tremendous number of spirits in God's kingdom since time
Monte
began.
Mare, sì. I so. And this is Christi for why we have said. There are things in this realm and of these realms and of the celestial realms of which man at this point of his evolution could not begin to understand. Time is eternal. Life is eternal. The universe and all it contains is eternal, is a great endless vastness, is all the Marcello can describe it as in the same way as all you could describe it as, is an unending thing. Life is an unending thing. The spirit begins its creation from the source, the God power, the love power, the power of being. Is creation, and creation will continue, and it evolves from as you know it, one level of consciousness to another, eternally. So you see, it is pitiful and foolish to talk of the seven planes of consciousness. Planes or levels of awareness or consciousness, whichever you wish to call them, are unaccountable. They go on eternally, like ripples in a stream. If you throw a stone, how many ripples can you count? It's impossible to count, because they are changing all the time. They are interchanging, interlacing, as we spoke of once before. You understand this, Christy? And so you see, God in his love feeds this great universe with life, and it is an eternal process. And whilst he is feeding this with life, he is creating a spirit, the spirit of life, the spirit of awareness, the spirit of consciousness, the spirit of being, the spirit of all things which are of God, and the particles of this are blessed with the physical body in order to evolve at certain stage of its evolution. But now, Brother Christopher, as I have told you before, in your mind's eye, I don't know how you see me, but in the eye of God, I am in no more than a light, a particle in this great vast ocean of life, which is a transcending through different levels of a consciousness, continuously. And sometimes we are caught up in the vortex of life and return again here to this earthly plane, only to evolve into another higher state of consciousness and to progress into this eternal life. Can you understand what I am saying to you now, Christopher?
I can understand what you've said.
But there is many left unanswered questions for you.
It takes, as you say, I don't suppose there is anyone on earth who can comprehend the vastness of it all.
As I have said, there are so many, there is a question for every spirit in this universe. So how can you take into your tiny brain the many answers that could be given? Suffice it, Brother Christopher, that you know that God is the source of creation, that creation is eternal, the creativity of the spirit is eternal, the creativity of man is not eternal, because the physical form of man is eventually destroyed. It destroys itself. This is a part of the spirit's continuance through life, as it, a chrysalis, will part from its shell and give forth the butterfly or the moth or whatever. So we shed ourselves from this chrysalis of this body and evolve into another form of life, another level of understanding, another vision of truth, another concept of creativity and progress and evolution, and so it goes on and on and on. Sometimes we catch up with one another. Sometimes there is the occasion when two particles of spirit light will blend as one and progress as one. Here we call this a unified spirit, where there are two souls in one, a twin soul, if you wish. Does this make you understand this more clearly? And so this twin soul will go on, and evolve together, and will grow. Sometimes, because of the force of it travel through life, they will become separated, and again for themselves their own experiences of life, only to reunite once again, because the magnetic pull of life and the force of life will draw them together, and so yet again they will evolve as one spirit, a kindred spirit, and so it goes on eternally, as this Brother Christopher. There are those that you and I could not attain unto it. It is the magnificence of life, this great vast miracle which is taking place continuously, so that evolution is assured, because whilst there is a new spirit being created, the force of this new creation is pushing all the time, and is pushing and pushing, so that the life and the spirits, many spirits, continue into the vastness of the universe, and all the universe contains. And there are many schools of life within this universe, Brother Christopher, such as the school of life you are living in now, but more so progressed. Some are even less progressed than this. You have been there, Brother Christopher. You have evolved to where you are now, and so it will be until there comes the time when you also will shed your chrysalis, throw away the shell of this body, and evolve into a new light of awareness and understanding. And so it is we say to you, no man is the same, no spirit is the same, because it is an individual spark of God, progressed along its own pathway, to find its own way through its learning and its involvement and its progression through this universal thing you call a life. Is this answer for your question, Brother Christopher?
Yes, Monsignor, thank you very much. It's the answer to that question. Could I ask you another question?
I am overjoyed.
It's still on the same subject, unfortunately. I understand that what you've said, believe the creation is eternal of the spirit, but in the spirit, as we have experienced on earth, there are those who evolve on earth to be good, and also those that do not progress and remain bad. So, with all the new spirits being created every moment, then those that are bad are increasing as well.
Brother Chris,
going on from that, if that is the case, I would have liked to have thought, and I know you can't answer, because you yourself don't know, that the ultimate aim is to be one with God. And if you're creating spirits that are not evolving and you are increasing that number, then it's surely making the task harder for the whole of God's creation to eventually become one with God himself.
I have you misled you, Brother Christopher. I want you to understand that although the spirit evolves through this universe, and it goes on and on and on, until it is cleansed, until it is purified, until it has evolved, as it must surely do, according to its acceptance and the conduct of its own free will. The free will you exercise here on this earth, according to life as you see it. Some will say, oh, life is good, I can take what I want, I can destroy what I want. This is an unprogressed soul. This is a spirit which has come onto this earth plane, created in the image of God, who has allowed itself to non-progress, because it has accepted, as did Adam, pleasures of the flesh, the abuse of the gifts of God and of the earth God gave, in whatever form. This, Brother Christopher, is an unevolved spirit, one which arrives here with the same chance as every other spirit, but chose not to evolve in the way God ordained it should. And this is one which will not progress. It will not progress because it will not be accepted by all those which are of good, because they have become an opposite. Do you understand what I'm saying to Christians?
Yes,
they have chosen to be what they are, of their own free will, and good will always reject the bad because he is the opposite. And so we discard this. Is allowed to continue to float around in this eternal universe, this void of darkness, if you wish. I believe you call it a hell, or Hades, whatever you wish. It's just a drifting aimlessly, waiting to be found again and to be given another chance and to be revived. But this time, because it has detached this earth plane and has been allowed to grow to a degree whereby it has a conscious awareness now, is looked upon as a spirit. And because you only live in a human form, you can only envisage a spirit as a human, as what you call a ghost, a phantom. I don't know where you find these words or these images. But really, in the truth, the Brother Christ, it is the light which has dwindled, almost to the extent where it will blend with the darkness and be unseen, until it begins, through its conscious awareness, to realize its tragic mistake it has made, and seeks to evolve itself once again. And in many cases, we have explained to you before, it is the law of God, and it shall return from whence it came, and evolve again, and show forth its light, or again wander in darkness. This, Brother Christopher, is a lost soul, but one who has received into his spirit all that which is good, all that which is of the truth and of the love, and can therefore through these gifts express the gift of a forgiveness, of a compassion, of a reason, of a good judgment, not of others but of itself. And this is a spirit which will evolve and is accepted into the light stream and will go on. Not all the stars in heaven, Brother Christopher, belong to the Milky Way. Not all the stars in the universe are touched by the light of the sun. But every now and again, will it not be said by those who will look through their little glass into the heavens and say, I have discovered a new star. A new light is coming to the heavens. Another one has been found. Just as we will say, when one returns to us as a light, and is accepted as a light, and sent into the life stream, into this universe of eternal unfoldment, and progression, and growth, I said at the beginning, I misled you. I don't want you to imagine in your mind's eye that once a light has been made, it will drift on and on and on and on and on. It may have a very long journey to make, but eventually it will return to its source. It will return to its God. Is this to make you content now, Brother Christy?
I'm just thinking what's going to happen. Pitch me. Last bit you said.
Tell me of your doubt.
No, I'm just picturing the little lost soul twinkling again. See. And evolving through the system. See. And eventually becoming one from whence it came.
See, this is why we strive. This is why many of us will hover around and try to shed more light into the spirit of those of you who are dwelling here in this plane, striving to understand. We are trying to enkindle your understanding, to help you to grow, to avoid the sins of the flesh, the weaknesses of the mind, the damage you can do to yourself by your own tongue, We want you to know and understand love, and tranquility and peace whilst you are here on this earth plane, so that you can take them into your spirit, so that when your spirit sheds its shell, it will come forth as a light to be seen of men and of God, to be received of Him into the life stream which extends through this universe and these myriads of planes and levels of consciousness.
That was one thing that I would have... having been created, the level at which that starts, the spirit itself, does it go into different levels of consciousness or awareness, or does it always, in the very beginning of creation, start at the bottom and work up?
Every flower, Brother Christopher, must be touched as a tiny seed. Always at the beginning.
Right at the beginning of creation or sometime in its evolvement?
It will, Brother Christopher. A human spirit, shall we call it, just to make it easy for you, must begin as a tiny particle of light and life. A tiny life force within this particle of a spirit, which you know as a spirit, will come. It will be shed by God as a grain of sand, and it will grow as it extends itself through the different levels of conscious awareness. Do you understand this, Chris?
Yes, I do.
And as it grows, it's like if you take a minute piece of snow from a mountainside and you will roll it down a hill. What does it become, Christopher? Not just a great big ball of snow. It can become an avalanche of life. A great power, a great force, creating and spreading a great beauty across the mountaintops. But if you stand underneath this, Brother Christopher, ask again what will happen. You will go to the base. You will be crushed and smothered beneath. So, when life begins, when the hand of God casts forth his seed, each one has exactly the same chance as another. But if you remember the parable of the sower, the seed, where some shall land on fertile soil, and some shall land on stony ground, and become infested with tares, and some shall stand on rocks, and grow not at all. So it is with life, Brother Christopher. And it was a life which Christ was inferring to then when he said these words. And this is what he was trying to describe to his disciples and to those he taught, exactly what Marcello is telling you now in words that your level of consciousness has evolved to at this present day. Do you understand, Marcello?
I do, thank you very much.
The Master Christ, he was talking to simple minds. He was talking to unevolved and unprogressed simple minds, who were in themselves striving to understand. So he put these things to them. He called them his children, did he not? And he believed them as his children. He looked upon them as his children. And he suffered these little ones to come unto him. And he spoke to them as children, in terms that only a child could understand. Marcello, is he talking with you as a child, but an evolved child, because mankind has evolved, believe it or not, to a state whereby his conscious awareness is of a greater level, than those of the days of the Christ. And you can receive this knowledge into yourself because of the terminology you use in this day and age. So we can talk of the heavens and of the universe. And we can talk of life being scattered by the hand of God to be shed into the light, yet some shall fall in the darkness only because of its own choosing. You understand these things now, Christy?
Yes, thank you very much, Monsignor. Can I ask one last question this evening? Accepting all what you've told us now, what about the animal kingdom and all the little creatures that God made as well, and the spirit that's in his image in them? Be it in many cases at a lower stage of involvement, does it have the opportunity to evolve into the same level as us and be one with God?
See, this is why we say to you, they are children of God. They are a life force, no matter what level they are. If you wanted to go to another planet, millions of miles away from the Earth, would you expect those people to be the same as you?
No.
If you wanted to go, if Marcello took you upon the wings of love and transported you into his realms, do you think they would look the same as you? So you have answered your own question, Brother Christopher. These little ones are children of God, and foolish ones will make their sport of them. But how foolish they are when these little ones will overtake them in a journey of life and become everything they are not. Consider these things, Brother Christopher. All things are of God, and he has the dominion over all of these things. And he will create and procreate all mankind. All the creatures of this living earth were created at his hand. If you want to set, Brother Christopher, a beautiful garden, would you plant the flowers all the same?
No, exactly.
Would there not be a variety of life in your garden? A great colour and image and depth and beauty. So it is with this garden of life in which you live and of which you are a part. Take your place in this garden, Brother Christopher. And from you, the Father will take the seed of your essence and scatter it into the universe to grow again. You understand this?
Thank you very much, Monsignor.
Now, one of these lovely ladies which have come to see Marcello, who of you will talk with Marcello? Is there surely not now a question in your hearts after all we have been saying?
You were saying, Marcelo,
si,
a spirit will come, or some spirits choose to come back to Earth to learn the lesson, perhaps.
Si.
Do they have a choice in what lesson they do, or do they come back and take potluck almost?
Ben, they come back knowing the lesson they must learn.
They choose to come back and learn a particular lesson.
They know where they have failed. And the lesson is always a very simple lesson, Sister Jacqueline. It is always the same lesson. This is why it's simple. And that lesson is to recognize the love of God within itself. When it has done this, it will learn all other lessons which will be added unto it. When it has refused the love of God and refused to obey the law of God, darkness will befall. It is therefore as a seed which has landed upon a rock. Some will come who have within them a good heart, but they will beside these two foolish things and create for themselves many hardships in life because of their lack of vision and their refusal sometimes to accept what they know is the truth. And this Marcello would liken to the seed who fell among tares and will not give forth its fruit as it should. And there are those who will come and who will love their God, who will see themselves for what they truly are, humble before God, and living a life of gratitude for the privilege of being allowed to evolve at this present stage. And it is their light which will shine. And it is this I would liken to those of the seeds which fell upon the fertile ground and took root and bore forth their fruit and enriched their lives and the lives of others. So you see, Sister Jacqueline, life really is a simple law, a law of accepting the love of God, being cleansed and pure and holy, and above all, humble in his sight. Is this answer for your question, Sister Jacqueline? And what of Sister Valerie?
Everything you've said tonight, I've grasped, I think. I think I understand this loving and forgiving. When you come across people who will not accept reason, is it fair enough just to give up and let him get on with it? You can forgive, but there's got to be a stage where you can give up without going back. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
I understand perfectly what you are saying. And I understand also, Sister Valerie, you are a little eager beaver. And you are like the one with the pinches. Once you have been nipped a hold, you will not let go. And sometimes you are like a little scorpion. And sometimes you miss what you are going to sting and sting yourself. And this is painful. But I want you to listen, Sister Valerie. I want you to listen to yourself. I want you to listen to your own reason. When the Master Christ was confronted by one who wanted to follow him, and he said to him, "How do I do this? What must I do?" And Christ said to him, "Go, give up all of your valuables and of your possessions, disown them to follow me." And the man instantly began to tot up all of earth of his valuables. And he was doing his figures in his head. And he said, "Oh, goodness me, this is too much. I cannot give all the..." And so he went his own way. What did Christ do, Sister Valerie? He let him go his way. Because he knew this man had risen within himself and had made his own choice. And so he would not waste his words. And he did say, did he not, that it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I know this is not directly applying to what you are saying, but it is an instance of what Christ did. He allowed this man the privilege of following his own free will. So, once having reasoned with him, he was asked a question of him. He answered the question. The man made his choice, whether he should accept what the Christ had said to him, the wisdom of his answer and his reply, or whether he should take the wisdom of his own belief and follow his own way. in whichever way he chose, Christ did not try again to persuade him, having given him his choice. And so it is, when you come to an obstinate one, you can tell him all that is in your heart. You can love them as Christ loved this one, as he loved all men, with an unadulterated love, an uncorrupt love, a pure love. And you can give them the choice out of this love, but you must give them also the choice to accept those things you say or to refuse them. Having done this, Sister Valerie, you have done all that you can do. It's time now that we must consider once again these lessons of the parables of Christ. And it's not just this one parable I wish to bring to your conscience. There are many parables in this book of life, of which you will find pointers in the direction of the pathway you choose to take. They are simple little stories of life, which you must read and analyze and take into your hearts, and strive to progress according to their teachings. And for your benefit, Sister Valerie, I will remind you of the parable of the prodigal son. This man had two sons. He loved them very much. And he decreed he would divide his possessions and give each an equal part to each of his sons. But the one son was a foolish one. The other was a wise one, and he remained with his papa, and he helped him till the ground and tend his flock. And the foolish one went abroad, and he took with him his share of his papa's wealth. And because he was so rich, he found he had many, many friends, and he would go to great orgies and parties. And he would drink and he spend so much money on all of these people he considered his friends. Then one day there was enough. His money had gone, and so had his friends. They did not want him anymore, and he became a poverty-stricken, and penniless and without. And in order to eat, he lived among swine. He ate the same food as the swine. He slept with them till he could take this and no more. But he said to himself, I shall arise and go unto my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against the heaven and earth. I have forsaken all your laws. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And so he arose, and he journeyed back to his father. And he said these things to him. And his father rejoiced, and he forgave him, for he loved his son. And he said unto his brother, Go forth, and kill the fatted calf, and we will celebrate the return of your brother. The brother who had been a faithful son was angered at this. And the father rebuked him gently. And he said to him, My son who was lost and is now found, you are his brother. Receive him as I have received him and forgive him. Think of this parable I have given to you this night. I want you to take it into your hearts. I want you to remember it. I want you to read it. I want you to understand it. And I want you to write in your own words your interpretation of this parable as opposed to as it occurs to you in your life. And when the next we meet again, I want for Sister Maria to read this parable to you. And having done this, I want you to read to myself that which you have written. I say this because it is one of the most important parables of your holy book. And you may ask, why do I want you to write it down? I say this is the reason. Because I do not want any one of you to be guided, misled or impressed with which other will say. I want you to read it straight from your heart, as you have perceived it in your own heart, in the privacy and stillness of your own time and being. You understand what Marcello has said?
Yes.
You understand this also, Christy?
Yes, thank you.
And of you, Sister Jacqueline?
Yes, thank you,
also. I would wish you will convey this message to all those who are absent from us this time, so that they may also join in and do not be excluded from this lesson of the parables of the prodigal son. Is this make you content? Will you be happy to do this for Marcello?
Yeah, sure.
See, I don't want you to ask others what their opinions of this is. I want you only to ask your own heart, how do I see this? What does it mean to my life? What does it mean to me as a spirit? Not as a human being, but as a spirit. What does it mean to me? What would it mean to Marcello? How would I see it if he was applied to me? I will tell you. When we have spoken of these things, it is make you content. Now you have something to look forward to. If you haven't got something to look forward to, Marcello is bursting with enthusiasm for next time you come. I would love to hear what you have to say, for I know it will be joyous. So now, let us talk with the Father and bring to a close this hour of joy. Eu prepare. Receive into the aura of your love, the love of these your blessed children, and so enriching their aura with a light of love and spiritual joy. Receive them, O God, into your care this night and all nights, and reason with them as they sleep by virtue of the peace you extend upon them. Cleanse them, O God, enrich them and uphold them ever in your light and care. Teach them, O Father, the lessons of life and love and mercy and peace and joy, that they may extend these things in thy name to their fellow beings, and administer unto them the joys of your love, and the holiness of your grace, and the miracle of your presence among men. Go your way now, in the name of God, and in the name of his administering angels blessed, washed, and cleansed in the love of Christ Jesus, our Saviour. And may his grace and peace enter into your life and remain with you always. May you walk in the joy of God and the love of Christ and the peace of the Holy Spirit this day and always. Amen. God bless you, my children. Go in peace. Go in love. Go in grace. Go in God. Amen.